subject of the lost axe head. And tonight, I'm going to preach on the subject of the lost axe head. So I'm going to preach two totally different messages on the lost axe head. And Lord be my help. And tonight, I thought about doing this morning, but I don't think I will. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 1. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. That means too little. You got to understand, this was part of the sons of the prophets, one of the students of the sons of the prophets, the men who were studying for the ministry. And they were lacking building here. They were lacking room in their, quote, their school. And he said, just too, that word straight means real narrow, real tight. They were too crowded. And verse number 2, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, and here's what they'd done. They'd all went down toward the Jordan River. I'm sure there were some great trees down there in the bottom, you know, some trees that would make some beams there. Each man was going to cut himself a beam to help in this building project. And so they're down there cutting this wood down. And verse number 5 said, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. Now, the water would be the Jordan. And he cried, and by the way, if you've been in Israel, the Jordan's not that huge now, but at one time, the Jordan River was with a big, I mean, what I'm talking about, it was deep. And it is still in some places. The axe head fell in the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. There's a lot of applications that you can, of course, just kind of back up here this morning. I'm preaching on the life of Elisha, going through the life of Elisha. Elisha is known as the miracle prophet. As far as I know, there's at least 16 miracles that God did through the life of Elisha. No other prophet in the Bible has that many miracles that he did. He's a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's also a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this piece of scripture right here, there's a lot of applications. And tonight, I'm as excited to preach what I want to preach tonight about this, but it's a total different application about the lost axe head. I went out this morning to try to find something and come up with a few things, but this is the best I could do. I started to call Zach. He always knows where the axe heads are and stuff, but I found an old split maul head, so we're going to use that just as a basis of it. And here's an old handle. How many's ever had this?
Yeah.
You know, and pretty hard to cut down a tree with this right here, isn't it? And pretty hard to cut down a tree with just this right here. You got to have both on there and so forth. And I found one of these right here, and I was going to bring this one here. This is the first thing I found. Found it outside this morning. And I thought, well, I'm going to knock the head off of it, and I'll bring it and I'll use it. You know, I couldn't get the head off the stupid thing. And by the way, tonight, there's a secret to why I couldn't get the head off of it. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a secret why I couldn't get the head off of it. And it has to do, and there's a spiritual application to your life, how you can keep the axe head on. But anyway, we'll use that one there. And then went out to the area where the guys cut wood. Now, look at this dude right here. Now, I'm not going to use this on anybody. Don't worry. I'm not a mad preacher or anything. So just for illustration purpose, this is a literal axe head right here. This split maul head right here. But my land, that look at that handle on that thing. And there's a spiritual application to that tonight about what can cause you to lose your axe head in your life. Axe head is a lot of things. You know, to have an axe back in those days was very, very important, because if you had an axe, you could do something. If you didn't have an axe, you couldn't. And the type of life they had, very, very important to have an axe head. So we're going to look at it. So the guy, he's swinging, and he swings, and all of a sudden his axe head comes off, and kazoom, it goes through the air and out into the river and down into the water. And it really bothered him, because something about it was borrowed. He said, alas, master, it's borrowed. Now, as I said, there's a lot of things I can preach on the axe head, but there's one application here, and this is first application is that the lost axe head is a picture of a lost sinner being saved in the Old Testament. In just a little while, I'm going to finish this message out, and I'm going to, without any piano playing, give you a chance to be saved here today or listening to me. I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to be saved. All of us are lost axe heads. And I'm going to give you a chance to literally ask God to forgive you of your sin and to place your trust and faith alone in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and ask God to save you. I'm going to ask you to leave here today a saved person. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name that you'd help us to preach, Lord. Lord, without you, I'm like a lost axe head. I can't do nothing. You said, without me, you can do nothing. But Lord, with you, all things are possible. And so, God, today I pray that you'd preach through me and with me. And Lord, I pray you'll preach on the inside of the people's spirits today. Lord, I'm not aiming for their minds, for their intellect. God, we're aiming for the heart today, their spirit. Lord, you said, except a man be born again of the Spirit of God, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You said, Lord, that a man must be born again. It's not an option. It's a command. It's an absolute imperative to go to heaven. I pray, God, today that you will save people here, that you will, Lord, draw people today by the power of the Holy Spirit in conviction and in faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Help me to preach plain. Help me to preach simple. Help me not to try to act like something I'm not. And Lord, I pray, just use me as an old vessel to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to the hearts of people. Lord, we love you today. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. I thank you for laying down your life. And I'm so glad, Lord, today that it's not through rituals and it's not through religion and it's not through our own righteousness. And Lord, it's not through our own efforts and our own trying and all kinds of junk that man can carve up and concoct up. But Lord, it's by faith in the substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, it is by grace, plus nothing, minus nothing. God, today may we become as little children that we might understand the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, thank you that all through this blessed old book from Genesis, the first chapter, to the end of this book, you have continuously, in thousands of ways, laid the gospel of Jesus Christ out to us today. And I want to thank you, Lord, today. I ask you to save people in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to fill in today some different things, but in Romans chapter 8, verses number 2 and 3, you see at the top of your sheet there, the Bible said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." How many knows what will happen to this axe head if I drop it? I'm going to be careful, a little try to be. There's a law that controls that thing. It's called the law of gravity. The law of gravity in nature is like the law of sin in your spiritual life. It will take you down every time. And you can't stop it. Only God can stop it. I want to preach first of all this morning on the failure. Number one, you write this in, the failure of the axe head. Number one is the failure of the axe head. You know what that axe head didn't do, Brother Queen? It didn't stay where it's supposed to. It's a picture of a sinner, and we do not stay on the handle. How many's ever flew off the handle? You know, all of us has flown off the handle in spiritually. We have all turned our own way. We have all gone our own way. And we have left the Lord Jesus Christ. We have left God. We are sinners by nature inside, and we will leave God given the first opportunity. The Bible teaches us that we won't stay where we're supposed to stay. We won't do what we're supposed to do, and we won't be what we're supposed to be. By the way, we're designed to bring glory, to be in fellowship and in relationship with the Lord, and we're designed to serve Him. That's what the Bible said in the book of Revelation chapter 4. But we want to fly off what God has to do. We want to get away from it. I was born in a home that went to church. I went to church for 13 straight years as a boy. Be honest with you, I mean, you know, I wasn't 7 years old going, boy, I hope I can be a drunk when I grow up. Boy, I hope I can be a drunk. I hope I can be a wicked sinner. No, it's in here. It's in here. It's in you, isn't it? It's in your heart. It's in your soul. It's that sinful nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us measure up. We've all sinned. We're all short of the glory of God. We don't measure up. How many here, let's go back to the Ray Comfort thing. How many here has ever lied one time in your life? What's that make you? And where's the Bible say liars will go? To the lake of fire. That is a breaking of the law of God. We come short. We don't measure up. We break the law. Every person you've ever known, including yourself, would break the law. How many has ever looked upon a person with lust in your heart? I mean, you looked on somebody and you didn't have the right thoughts in your mind. You committed adultery is what you did. Jesus said you look on them with that and you've already committed adultery in your heart. You broke the law. And the Bible said that if you offend in one point, you broke them all. It's like the law is like a chain. You break that one link and you're gone into hell. We're lost without God. By the way, we ought to get back to Bible terminology. We are lost without Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, there are more lost people sitting in churches in America than any place else I know about. I'll tell you what, the Bible teaches not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. We have failed to be what God would have us to be, to go where God would have us to go, to be what we ought to be, and to stay where God would have us to stay. When I got to be about 13 years old, you know what I started doing, Terry? I started getting rebellious. And that old sin nature began to really come out of me. By the time I was 18, it was worse. By the time I was 21, it was full-fledged gone. I'm talking about, listen, sin manifests itself in going away from God. Going away from God. I can remember being drunk one night on my hands and knees, vomiting at a party, being out in some woods. And I remember vomiting and on my hands and knees, and just like the Spirit of God saying, how far are you going to have to go down? How far will you go? When are you going to turn? When are you going to repent? When are you going to go back to God where you ought to be? But we have that in us, and I want to tell you this morning, every one of us is a sinner by nature and by choice. The failure. It wouldn't stay where it was designed to be. Number two, the flight of the axe head. Running from God. How many of you ever run from God? Your flight has been from God. People are all across America. You know what a lot of people move about? A lot of people move because they're running. They're running. Everything they're doing, they're running from God. They're running from God. We have turned everyone to his own way, the Bible said. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The flight, he flew out, as I said, flew off the handle. It's a picture of sinners. And by the way, listen, the number three there, the fall of the axe head. Running away from God. You know what you can do? You can take this picture of this axe head and take it to the book of Luke and find the prodigal son, and you will find the exact pattern in the prodigal son's life. The prodigal son, he failed to be what he ought to be as a son, the design that God had for him there in his home. He had a flight, and then number three, he fell. The Bible said it fell into the river in Genesis chapter 3. If you know what the Bible teaches, that man has fallen into sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they fell from God. They fell out of relationship with God. And we have what we call the fall. And that's what sin does to us. It causes the fall. By the way, we're not evolving up. Man is going down. It's the fall. It's like I said, the law of gravity, the law of sin and death will always take you down. It'll always take you down. And it will cause you to be lost. What did this axe head do? Did you know without this thing being where it was at, and by the way, not just being on the handle, but in the hand of the master, it has no purpose. It's lost its purpose. Let me tell you something. Without Jesus Christ, without being reconciled to God through faith in His shed blood, you will have lost your purpose, and you can search for it for 70 years of your life. But you will never have found your purpose. You know, I'm telling you, you'll lose not only your purpose, you'll lose your place in life. You'll never be what God wanted you to be as a lost axe head. You'll never be used for what God wanted you to be used. You'll never reach your potential as a lost axe head, laying there in the bottom of a muddy river. And you'll never have the power. That thing has, let me tell you something, this thing has power to it when it's in the right handle and in the right hands. It's got power to cut down a mighty oak tree. The reason that our country is going to hell in a handbasket is because we're letting our children grow up running and flying off the handle of God and going into a muddy, dark river of humanism, and they have no clue what they're here about. They have no potential life, and they're losing our power. And by the way, when churches lose their axe head, they lose their power and their purpose and their potential, what God would have you to be. But as lost man, let me tell you something. Until 28 years of age and I got saved, I was not in the place God would have me to be. I was not doing the things that God would have me to do. I didn't have the purpose that God designed me in life. I did not use the potential that I had in life, and I didn't have the power of God in my life. When you're lost, that's the way it is. And you can search after everything, and there's a thousand things, the world, the devil, and the flesh will have you to do to fill up and substitute for what God would have you to be. But until you're in the hands of Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll never know what it is. Sin makes you go down. That axe head didn't go up. It went down. That's what sin makes you do. And by the way, it became lost, and you lose everything. Sin will make you lose everything. I've watched sin. Actually, each week of my life, I watched sin cause people to lose their lives, what they could have been. I'm telling you, lose their homes, their wives, their husbands, their marriages, their children. I mean, sin is just one big word, lose. You lose everything. Sin will cause you to lose your wealth. It'll cause you to lose your health. Sin will just, it will take everything away from you. It'll just cause you to lose what you could have done in life and what you could have been in life. I mean, it's a losing situation to be in sin, to get away from God. Number four, the fate of the axe head. As I said, it's lost, but it's lost in something. It's lost in mire at the bottom of that river. You know, sin will take you down to mire. I'm talking to you about walking around crawling around my hands and knees in your own vomit. I'm going to tell you something. Sin will take you into the mire of immorality, won't it? I'll tell you what, you mess up and you commit adultery on your spouse, buddy, you're in the mire and the mud. You're messed up. You're in trouble. You get into dope. You get into liquor. You get into theft. You get into lying. You get into crookedness and all this kind of stuff. I don't get to tell you something. Listen, you've got to be careful. Sin will always take you down in the mud, and it'll take you down in the mire. You say, Reggie, what are you talking about? It'll take you down into darkness. Did you know that down at the bottom of that river, it was dark down in there, and sin will take you into darkness. When you're lost, you're in the mire, you're in the mud. You know what amazes me? That we got so many, there's so many people on this earth, and they have no really concern. Do I really know how to get to heaven when I die? Do I really know how to deal with where I'm going to spend eternity after I die? Do I know how to deal with the problem of sin in my life? And this old book will tell you how to deal with it, tell you what to do for it. And people are just dying and going into eternity and haven't even looked at. I mean, they're more concerned about knowing how to operate their computers than they are about facing God at death. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, they're going to colleges and studying their heads off for, 5 years or 4 years or whatever it may be. And they're more concerned about a degree than they are knowing that their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't understand that the fate of it. We say, what is it? Well, let me say this to you. The fate of it, it's down the water. It's lost. It's useless. Can I tell you, your life is useless apart from Jesus Christ? It's vanity. You know, you say, I don't believe that. Check Solomon out. Solomon was political. He was king. He had wealth. He had women. He had wine. He had property. He had everything conceivable. He had it all. You know what he got done with it all? He said, it's vanity. It's vexation of my mind. I'm worried about who's going to have these things after I'm gone. And I wasted my life on wealth and women and popularity and praise. Wasted my life. Vanity. I'm going to tell you something. It's still vanity. A life lived without Jesus. I didn't say a life. You can live your life in religion, die and go to hell. I'm talking about Christ as your Savior, a personal relationship. Have you ever come to God in the name of Jesus Christ, repented of your sin, said, God, be merciful to be a sinner, and I place my faith in your Son's death, burial, and resurrection, and that alone? If you don't do that, your life is going to be wasted. I promise you, on the Word of God, your life will be a waste. His life, this axe head's life, was wasted down there at the bottom of the river. Let me tell you something. That thing wasn't made to lay at the bottom of a muddy, miry river. And God didn't make you to lay down in the mire and the muck and rot of sin. God made you to glorify Himself and to have fellowship with Himself and His love for you. You know what water is to iron? It's a curse to it. It deteriorates it. It rusts it. In fact, if it is, you can look at this axe head right here. This here head. You look at that. That thing has been out in the elements. It's rusting. You know what sin will do to your life? It'll deteriorate it. It, watch this. It will eat it up. Sin will slowly eat your life up. It'll eat up your marriage. It'll eat up your opportunities. It'll eat up your joy. It'll eat up your peace. It'll eat up your opportunity. And it will just absolutely, it just, see, you're just not sitting there. Sin will eat you alive. That's the fate of the axe head. You know, we're under the curse. It's interesting. That axe head falling into that water is like you and I living under the law. It's a curse to us. And it'll eat you away. And it'll condemn you until you find the grace of God. Did you know why sinners don't want to hear the Bible preached? Is because until they get grace, it's like, I don't want to hear it. 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 It's a curse to them. The Bible said it's a savor unto death to one and a savor unto life to the other. It smells like death to those who are not saved and smells like life to those who are saved. The sinner is under the curse of the law of God. That mire and that mud. Can I tell you something? You can get mired down in false conversions. How many people besides me has ever lived in false conversion? I have. I've lived thinking I was saved, hoping I was saved, but not knowing I was saved. And I was living knowing that this isn't right. I'm going to tell you something. You can get mired down in a false conversion. If you're careful, that's what will take you to hell. You can get mired down in religion. I was reading this week, Bill, I was reading that story of the printer, Udo. A lot of folks in there mired down in religion, wasn't they? You can get mired down in religion and you think, well, I'm just going to hang on to this religion because that's, man alive, you know, that's what I was told and that's what, you know, I'm just going to hang on to it. I'm going to tell you something. It'll take you down. Nowhere in the Bible does God tell you to be religious. God told you to be saved. To be born again of the Spirit of God. It'll take you down. False conversions can take you down. Bitterness and hatred and greed and liquor and immorality and dope is just taking this country down like unbelievable. And it's sinking. You know what? The more it lays there, the more it's constantly sinking. Constantly sinking. Eating away at your life. I want you to get number five. Write it down. The futility of the axe head. The futility of the axe head. You know what I'm telling you? It can't help itself. Are you listening to me? You can't save yourself. That axe head has no power in it to raise itself from the water. I want you to listen to this preacher this morning. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Not according to works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. You cannot save yourself. You cannot. I'm not preaching to save myself. It won't work. You're not coming to church here this morning to be saved. In other words, as something that you do to be saved, to be accepted in the sight of God. Listen to that verse again. Not according to works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. You are never going to be good enough to go to heaven. Never. Never be good enough to go to heaven. You're not going to do enough good deeds, be a nice enough guy, you know, pay your bills enough and all this kind of stuff. You're living in what's called comparable theology. You compare yourselves among yourselves and God said that is not wise. You compare yourself to the absolute holiness of Jesus Christ, and if you ever see Him and you ever see yourself, you'll fall on your face and cry for God's mercy through the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel is this, that He died in your place for your sin on the cross. He died in your place. You can't save yourself. You're helpless. Utterly helpless. That axe head couldn't come up out of the water. It couldn't do anything to save itself. It had no power to raise or rescue itself. This is what a lot of American people are doing now. And there's a deal in America. You know, we're going to raise ourselves up by our bootstraps. A lot of the gospel is what's called now the social gospel. If we can just improve people's environment, if we can just put them into a better house, if we can just give them more and better education. It's done us a lot of good, hasn't it, folks? Now we're a debtor nation up to our eyeballs. Now we've got 17-year-old boys walking up to little kids in strollers and blowing their brains out in the middle of daylight. We've really educated ourselves up. We've killed 54 million babies in the womb. We've really educated ourselves up. Sodomy is now rampant in our country. We've really educated ourselves up. We've thrown away our constitution. We've really, really upped ourselves. We've thrown the word of God out that gave our founders the wisdom to set up the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We're really educating ourselves into hell. You can take a kid, and I'm going to tell you something, that's why you don't clean up the pig pen. You take them out, you clean up his heart, and he'll climb out of the pig pen on his own. You clean the man's heart up, he'll climb out of the pig pen on his own. The futility. You know what? I got to thinking, I ain't too smart, but I got to thinking, well, surely that piece of iron tried to crawl out. According to the evolution, this thing, given enough time, this dude to put legs on, crawl out of there. You see, that's their whole idea. That's why I hate evolution so bad. That is the bedrock, concrete, stupidest ideology and philosophy and theory I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean, you've got to put your brain in neutral and you've got to just surrender your mind as a trash can to the idiots of hell to believe in any type of evolution. It's stupid. Listen, think. You cannot take yourself anywhere in this world and see any actual evolving of anything true. Any real evolution, there's none out there that's ever been recorded for a textbook yet. But they lie to you. They draw their little charts from amoeba up to a guy walking in a briefcase and a suit, and you believe it because somebody drew it out on a piece of paper for you. More kids have been damned to hell over one little drawing. Anything with absolutely no proof. And you know what they found out? They just tell you enough billion years, you just kind of go, oh. And they squeeze their lie into those billions of years. I'm just saying this, that it's futile. Man does not crawl out of his sinful condition. It takes the power of God to lift you up. You can't crawl out. You can't religion yourself out. It's futile. Somebody says, well, it could have worked its way over to the bank after a while. Sure. Number six, this is the good part. The finding of the axe head. The finding of the axe head. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad when God found this old axe head. Brother Adams, I was sitting in church on a Sunday night, January the 24th, 1982, an old lost axe head sitting in church. And the Savior came and found me. The Bible said in Luke 19:10, for he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. An old helpless axe head that lost its purpose in life, lost its potential in life, lost its power in life, helpless, couldn't save myself. I tried going to Sunday school, Brother Phil, didn't work. I had tried teaching Sunday school, Brother Queen, didn't work. I tried singing specials at church, didn't lift me up out of the water. I tried being sure I was there on Wednesday night, Brother Jim. It just didn't work. Couldn't lift myself out of the water. You know, some of you just been, for years and years, you've been trying to lift yourself up out of the water by reading your Bible and being good. And you're so proud of what you ain't done. I ain't never been divorced. I ain't never chewed tobacco. I ain't never drunk. I ain't never, well, just one time I committed immorality, but I ain't doing anything other than that. I ain't doing near as much as other folks have. By the way, that makes me better. I'm going to tell you something. You're still down the mire. You're still down the mud. And may God have mercy on you this morning. Make you, the only thing you can do is seek that hand that can come and lift you up out of your mire and your sin. You say, Reggie, there was a finding of the axe head. Well, in the finding of the lost axe head, there was, number one, a cry. There was a cry. You know what he said? Alas, Master! Wow. You know what Jesus is called in the New Testament? Master. Wait a minute. What's this handle? You said, Lord, I put my... You mean, Lord, you want me to take the handle of my life and put it... Oh, Lord, I don't want to trust you with the handle of my life. I got some living I want to do, Lord, and I have some things that I hear that a Christian... No, I'll tell you what he did. He said, alas! And alas means great alarm and great concern. Did you know what? You're going to have to call on God to get saved. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're going to have to call out to God for being saved. Amen. No, you and God ain't going to sit at the same table and you're going to negotiate with God about anything. You're going to cry out to God for mercy, and that's the only thing that'll ever save you. That he cried. Psalms chapter 40 said, David said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Lift him up out of the miry pit. Set his feet on a solid rock. Put a new song in my heart, even praising his name. Many shall see it, the Bible said, and be converted unto the Lord. Oh, I know you're better than David. You wouldn't cry, would you? You wouldn't call out to God. You're just a little bit. I mean, if you'd make this, is there a piece of paper I can sign? Couldn't I just shake your hand, Reggie, or something like that? No. I always think of somebody mentioned Tom Williams here in the day. I always think of what he told about that rich woman out there in Tacoma, Washington, come to revival meeting that night. And preacher said, Brother Tom said, richest woman in Tacoma's here at church tonight. She'd heard him on the radio program. They invited the people to the revival. She came. And so after the service was over, they had a service and people were saved. A lot of folks were saved. God moved. But she never made a move. But when everybody was left out, she came up here to talk to Tom. She said, I would like to be saved. He said, man, that's wonderful. Let's just kneel right here and you can ask God to save you. And she said, do I have to kneel? He said, well, most folks don't, but you do. You see, if you think you're too, you think you're a hot rod, you think you're too good, and you're still too proud, God resists the proud. But He'll give grace to the humble. And you're going to have to cry out to God. The first thing in finding is He cried out to God. And the second thing, if you want to write out in there, is, oh, by the way, you don't cry out to the shrink and you don't cry out to the preacher, you cry out to God. Amen. Amen. And the second thing, a confession was made. He said that thing, he said, I lost Max, said. You're going to have to get honest with God. I wonder, have you ever said to God, I am a sinner? Have you ever said to God, I'm a sinner? I'll just challenge you a little bit further. Have you ever said to God, I'm a wicked, low-down, hell-deserving sinner? Amen. Have you ever said, God, I'm wicked! God, I'm filth in betrayal! My heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. I'm a sham! I'm a hypocrite! I've lied! I've coveted, I've hated, I've been greedy, I've been bitter at people, I've wanted to kill people in my mind and heart. I've been mad at you for years. I've cussed, I've took your name in vain, I've lied. I've been immoral, filthy. Have you ever got honest with God? Confession? You heard about the judge, didn't you? The judge told a guy on trial, he said, I'm going to tell you something. If you'll come up here and stand before this court and confess your crime, I'll show you some mercy. If you don't, I'm not going to. And the guy came up here and he just kept wooling around. First thing you know, he's blaming his mom and dad. Next thing he's doing, blaming the policeman. Next thing he's doing, blaming everybody and his brother, blaming the school teacher. Judge said, I can't give you no mercy. You've never confessed that you're responsible for your sin. That's what we're going to have to do. I just want to ask him, have you ever literally said to you, confessed that you're a sinner and that you need the mercy of God? Quit thinking about how good you've been. And you say, well, I never did give my mom and dad any trouble. I've been, oh, really? Anyway. Then this is wonderful. The number three there, you ought to write in. In the finding of this lost act said there was a cross. I can't believe the Bible. It's amazing. See, you can't get saved without the cross. You can't get saved without the work of the cross. How many knows what I'm talking about here? Anybody seen it? Yeah, he cut a stick down. He cut a stick down. He cut a tree down. And the cross was put into the water. And until you put the cross, listen to me, and until you put the cross into your life, you'll never be saved. But when you put the power of the cross into the place that you're lost, up will come that old iron will swim. And you put the cross of Calvary. Listen to me. You would not be saved by coming up here and kneeling. That won't save you. Now, I'd like for you to do that. I'd like you to come and kneel before God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You probably won't because you're too proud, but I pray that you will. But what will save you is believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what a Savior. You've got to put that cross. The preaching of the cross is to them which believe is salvation. And you'll not ever be saved outside of putting the cross into your soul, into your heart, and your spirit of Jesus Christ. The finding of that cross. The Bible, I'm talking about believing faith, heart faith, not intellectual faith. I'm talking about if man, he believeth with his heart, the Bible said, he shall be saved. Number four, there's a casting. There's a casting. You see, you're going to have to believe and cast your soul on the Lord Jesus Christ. They cast that cross into that water. You're going to have a personal heart experience where you personally have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. It's not intellectualism. It's not mind games. It's heart belief that Christ died for me on that cross. Number five, let me tell you about salvation and finding. When God finds you, it'll be a miracle, won't it? Every person that gets saved is a miracle. It was a miracle for this to come. It's not natural. Watch this. It's not natural for this iron to come up and float on the top of water. And it's not natural for you to be risen in newness of life. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's supernatural, miraculous work. The Bible teaches us you must be born again. Born again. Birth. Can I tell you something? That every time you plant a piece of corn in the ground and it shoots up, you just saw a miracle of God. You say, well, what's a miracle? It's something man can't do. And man can't make a piece of corn. You can cut it out and you can put it in the lab all you want to, but I dare you and challenge you to put life into a little piece of corn. And you cannot make life. You can't make peas grow. You can't make a tree grow. It takes the power of God to resurrect new life. And it takes the power of God to resurrect a person who is dead spiritually, buried spiritually. It takes the power of God to raise you up, turn you into a new man. Amen. Let me give you the curve right now. Are you really saved? Because the Bible teaches that if you're saved, you'll not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there places and people that you would be ashamed to claim the name of Jesus Christ personally? You see, I want to tell you something about old Reg Kelly. When he is down at the bottom of the creek and the old lost axe head down at the bottom in the mire and the mud. But I want to tell you something. Wasn't very frequently that I'd ever mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ to my drinking buddies. Why can't you imagine, Brother Bob, if we're out of committing immorality and trying to get some old gal, you know, to commit immorality? I say, just a minute, honey, I want to tell you about Jesus before we do this. I want to tell you something. Salvation, and you listen to me real good. In the soul of my soul, I knew I did not have what the Bible talked about. I was not a new man. I knew there was not a resurrection power in my life. And that's the difference. And I want to encourage you today. I want you to ask yourself, has the axe head ever been by the power of God brought up from the depths? That supernatural power of God that made a new creature in Jesus Christ in your life. I'm telling you, I'm so sick of religion, I can't hardly choke it. People are absolutely just cloaking themselves in religion in this country and they're just falling off into hell. And the devil will substitute the real thing continuously. It's a miracle. Bible salvation will lift. Watch this. Bible salvation will lift you up out of the mire, out of the mud, out of the darkness, into His glorious light. Amen. Bible salvation will change the places you go, change the things you say, change the way you live. Bible salvation will change you. Number six, you'll see there that He told him in verse number seven, He said, take it up to thee. Watch this now. And he put out his hand and took it. Here we are. You this morning have been given the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have been offered salvation in Jesus' name. But can I tell you something? You're going to have to reach out and take it. You're going to have to reach out and take it. Will you let your pride keep you from taking salvation today? Will you let the Lord save you today? There's an old song. You see it down to the bottom. Can anybody tell me what it is? Why, sure, you know what it is. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a nice Christian like me. A wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know what we are, folks? We're just a bunch of old lost axe heads that got off the handle, got away from the power and control of God, went off into sin, got ourselves down in the mire and the mud. But thank God the Savior came along to seek and to save the lost. And He spoke that word of power. He put that cross into our lives. Amen. He put that death, burial, resurrection and the blood of the cross into my heart. And He brought me up out of spiritual death. And He can do that for you this morning. Now here's what we're going to do. He said, boy, I wouldn't want to be embarrassed. Well, that's your first problem. Why don't you quit worried about being embarrassed? I don't know what America's coming to. Why don't we just admit we're nothing to start with and say, listen, I'm a lost sinner. And I'm going to ask you, we're going to stand in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat. I'm going to ask you to walk up that long 40-mile walk. You know, it's about 40 miles up through there. About 40 miles up through that. And I'm going to ask you to find a place to kneel. Find a place to kneel somewhere over here. Just anywhere. And I'm going to ask you, dear God in heaven, I'm reaching out. I'm reaching out today to Jesus Christ. I want to take Christ as my Savior today. I want this new birth. I want this salvation. I want this new life. I want to be in the hand of God. I'm tired of being an axe head off where it ought to be and not having my purpose in life. And I want the Lord today. You're going to have to receive it. But as, what's this? John 1:12. But as many as received Him, not the church, as many as received Him, gave He power to become the sons of God. You hear that word power? He'll transform you. He'll transform you. God will cause you to, watch this, pass John 5:24, from death unto life. We're talking about resurrection. You get with Jesus Christ, you'll be raised in newness of life. Amen?